Before we look at God's Word, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word, Lord. We thank You for all that we hear from Your Word. And as we look at this upcoming new year, Lord, we're excited what You're going to do in our lives, Father. So we would pray that You would just bless us now, Lord. Just anoint me, Lord, with Your Holy Spirit, Father. And make me Your instrument to be used to just bring what we need to hear, Lord. We just ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. An ill-prepared college student taking an economics exam just before Christmas vacation wrote on his paper, "Only God knows the answers to these questions. Merry Christmas." The professor graded the paper and wrote this note: "God gets 100 and you get a 0. Happy New Year." We get a chuckle from the students and the professor's humor. But in this statement that they both made, there's an element of truth. God indeed knows everything, and He knows what's going to happen in 2017. And we can be confident as we go into this new year because we aren't facing it alone, but God is with us. In Deuteronomy 31, verses 7 through 8, Moses summons Joshua before the nation of Israel and tells them that Joshua would lead them into the promised land and he would conquer it by God's power. God would be with Joshua and would encourage and strengthen him to accomplish this great task. If you have your Bible, let's turn to Deuteronomy 31, verses 7 and 8. Deuteronomy 31, verses 7 and 8. "Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all of Israel, 'Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged.'" In this passage of Scripture, we have three keys that if we incorporate them into our lives, we can face the new year without fear or anxiety. Now, the first key is found in verse 7, and let's take a look at what it is. Moses says to Joshua in verse 7, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with the people into the land the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance." Joshua and the Hebrews had a great challenge. They would have to go into Palestine and drive out their enemies and settle in the land. And it probably seemed impossible for the Hebrews to believe that they could drive out the inhabitants of this land because they had been there for centuries. They had built walled cities. And as the Hebrews looked at this, how were they going to drive these people out? But of course, God in one is a majority. And through God, they would do this. Now, Joshua had accepted the challenge just like he had done earlier with Caleb when they had spied out the land. All the other spies had been frightened, but Joshua and Caleb wanted to go into the land and conquer the Canaanites. Moses, Joshua, and Caleb wanted to go in and trust God to give them the victory, but the rest of the nation refused. Because of this, they were forced to wander in the desert for 40 years. The Hebrews wouldn't accept the challenge, and as a result, they missed out on the opportunity to go into the promised land. Joshua saw the challenge, and he saw it as an opportunity, and he wanted to take advantage of it. The challenges that come to our lives, the difficulties that come to our lives, are opportunities that God places there. And as we look at the upcoming year, there will be many challenges that will come our way. And we must look at them as opportunities that God is bringing to us. These trials will come to us, and the question we have to ask ourselves is, how will I respond? Will I be prepared, or will I be swept away by it? We need to be prepared as these challenges come. We need to be prepared as these difficulties come, because they will come. And National Geographic ran an article about the Alaskan bull moose. The males of the species battle for dominance during the fall breeding season, literally going head-to-head with antlers crunching together as they collide. Often the antlers, their only weapon, are broken, which ensures defeat. The heftiest moose with the largest and strongest antlers triumphs. Therefore, the battle fought in the fall is really won during the summer when the moose eat continually. The one that consumes the best diet for growing antlers and gaining weight will be the heavyweight in the fight. And those that eat inadequately sport weaker antlers and less bulk, and they'll lose the fight. There's an important lesson for us for this new year. Spiritual battles await, and Satan will choose to attack. Will we be victorious or will we fall? Much depends on what we do now before the war begins. The bull moose principles of enduring faith, strength, and wisdom for trials are best developed before they are needed. And that's the same is true with us too. Just a couple nights ago, I watched a movie called Sully. What a great film. Does anybody have... Okay, some of you have seen this film. What a great film. And January 15th, 2009, all of us probably remember when the U.S. Airways flight 1549 went down in the Hudson River. And that was just 7 years ago, as of 15th of January. And the reason Sully was successful in landing that plane in the Hudson was because of the experience that he had. He started flying when he was 16 years old. He went to the U.S. Air Force Academy, flew in the military, and he'd been flying for 42 years. This man had experience. He was prepared for this incident that happened. He was prepared to do what needed to be done and save the lives of those 155 people. And of course, the TSAB, Transportation Aviation Board, they were saying he made a mistake, weren't they? And if you've seen the movie, it goes through all this. And they said that one of his engines wasn't actually out, that was just idling. But they later recovered the engine, and he was right. There's probably not one in 20,000 pilots that could have done that, to land on the Hudson River. Because most landings on water, most people die in a landing like that. But he was able to do that. And that was because of the experience that he had. Those 42 years had prepared him for that heroic incident that he did. And God is preparing us. He's preparing us for this upcoming year. And if you aren't walking with God, you aren't ready. You need to get back with God. Maybe this is why the Hebrews weren't up to the challenge to conquer the land when the spies brought back the report of Palestine. Joshua was walking with God and he was ready for the challenge. If we are walking with God, we can look forward to the challenges that will come our way, realizing that they are opportunities to serve the Master. Moses goes on at the beginning of verse 8 to tell Joshua he doesn't need to be afraid as he faces the challenges he would encounter in the promised land. Why wasn't he to be afraid? It was because God would be with him. This is the second key for facing the new year with confidence, and that is to realize that God is with us and we're not alone. We're never alone, are we? God is always with us. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, He's living inside of us. So we never face anything alone. He's always there with us. And what confidence that brings us. No matter where we go or what we face, God is with us. David understood this and wrote in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble wherever we go. God has already been there and He knows our situation. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. In theology, when we talk about God's presence everywhere, we call that omnipresence, that God is everywhere at once. God is transcendent. He is everywhere. And that encourages us because even beyond that, God is in us and He is with us and He'll be with us as we face this new year. If we're a Christian, God is with us wherever we go or whatever we do. And what comfort and encouragement this is as we face the challenges that are ahead of us. Someone once said, God's presence in our trial is much better than exemption from the trial. The sympathy of His heart with us is sweeter far than the power of His hand for us. And that's true, isn't it? I'd rather go through a trial with Jesus with me and experience His presence. What a sweet fellowship that is. We need to remind ourselves of God's presence and what a privilege it is to have God with us. Sometimes we take this for granted. We forget what it was like before we were Christian. Do you ever think about that at times? What was it like before I was a Christian? And some of us have been walking with the Lord for a number of years. I've been a Christian for 44 years. And sometimes I just like to think back and think, what was it like before I was a Christian? And at this time of the year, I think of New Year's, and I was thinking, before I was a Christian, how did I look at the new year? And I think I looked at it with kind of fear and trepidation because I didn't know what was going to happen. And I think that's what a lot of non-Christians do when they look at the upcoming new year. The night before they party and do all kinds of crazy things because there's fear of what's going to happen. And so they do this to kind of escape that reality. But as a Christian, the new year is an exciting time because God is with us and He'll take care of us. He'll be with us with those trials and tribulations that we're going to face. God's presence is with us whether we feel it or not. Sometimes it seems that God is far away, but He's still right next to us, isn't He? We may not just be aware of His presence, but He's still there. And how do we become more aware of His presence? We need to stay close to God. We need to fellowship with Him moment by moment. I remember growing up
out in Ohio,
and I remember the first time I went squirrel hunting. I can't remember if I was in first or second grade. I don't think we would have kids squirrel hunting that age now, would we? 6 or 7 years old. I had a 410. But my dad took me squirrel hunting, went out to my grandparents' farm, and across the road, or out there, they call them lanes, there was a woods, and when I was that age, it seemed like a forest, you know, it seemed huge, but it really wasn't. So my dad and I went over to the woods, and he would set me under a hickory tree, because that's squirrels like hickory nuts, right? That makes sense, so I get a chance to shoot a squirrel. He'd give me a handful of butterscotch hard candy. You guys remember those? I don't know why he gave me those, but later on he told me why. And so I was there alone, and I thought, you know, I'm by myself. Well, my dad was keeping an eye on me. I couldn't see him. He was a good woodsman, so he was hiding out there hunting too. And one of the things he said, the reason he gave me a handful of candy was because if I moved to another tree, he could just follow the candy wrappers wherever. That was back before we knew it was bad to litter. But my dad's presence was with me. Even though I didn't see him, even though I didn't feel him, he was there. And that's the way it is with God. He is with us. And we may not always feel His presence, but He's with us, right alongside of us. Brother Lawrence, who was a monk in the Middle Ages, wrote the book, The Practice of the Presence of God. What a wonderful book. It's down in our church library. In it, he tells the joyful practice of keeping company with God in the midst of the details of ordinary life. And that's how we stay close to God. It's in those ordinary details of life that we go through, all of us go through. Brother Lawrence was a cook. In everything he did, God was involved. We practice the presence of God by simply walking with Him and fellowshipping with Him moment by moment. He's involved in all areas of our lives, even the smallest details. When we become aware that God is with us, when we see that He is with us not only in the small challenges of life, but also the large ones, that encourages us. And what we often do is neglect to ask God for help in the small details of living, and we only go to Him when there's a big problem. But God's interested in the small details of your life, too. Let's walk close to God. He is closer than anyone else. He's closer than a brother. And as we go into the new year, we realize that we aren't alone. But God is with us. And He gives us the confidence as we face these challenges that will come our way. Now, the third key we see is at the end of verse 8. Moses tells Joshua not to be afraid or discouraged because God is with him. It would have been easy for Joshua to become afraid and discouraged with the group that he was leading. You know, we can understand that. But Joshua didn't, and he accepted the challenge and, trusting in God's presence and strength, carried out God's plan. And we have a record of all that happened in the book of Joshua. Joshua obeyed the directives that the Lord had given him in Joshua 1, 8, 9. The Lord said, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And again, we see here the importance of being in God's Word every day. Pastor Randy, myself, Pastor Peter, Pastor Paul, we say this ad nauseum. You know, you need to be in God's Word every day. And the reason we say that, because we're not all in God's Word. We're not spending time in God's Word. And we need to be in God's Word. We need to hide God's Word in our heart. We need to meditate on God's Word. And it needs to be a part of us, and we need to do this daily. And one of the things that's helped me is that somebody gave me the Bible on CD. Now, originally I had the King James Bible on CD, and I was listening to that, and it was I liked it. But then somebody gave me the Bible on CD for the NIV. And it's fantastic to listen to God's Word. I know Pastor Randy does that in his truck. Because we hear God's Word and it becomes incorporates into our mind. And we often have plenty of time. We may be driving 20, 30 minutes to where we work or going somewhere. And just to listen to God's Word. So we need to have God's Word in our heart. We need to be spending time in God's Word. And that's one of the ways we stay close to God in His presence, is to be in His Word. And Joshua stayed in the Word, and that helped him stay close to God. And it also helped him to keep the proper perspective. And that's a key in our Christian life, is to have the right perspective. The proper perspective helps one to overcome discouragement. We often get discouraged because we see things through our perspective and not God's. God sees things very differently than we do. He's interested in doing what is best for us for eternity and not just for today. When we become discouraged and afraid, we lose sight of God. We lose our perspective. All of us get discouraged. And this will happen this upcoming year. When this happens, we need to get our eyes back on God. How do we do this? We do this by reading God's Word. We do this by praying. And prayer is so important. If I don't have my prayer time each day, and I try to pray throughout the day, especially that time alone with God, I don't feel close to God. I don't feel His presence, even though He's there. And we need time in prayer. And we also need time with other Christians who we can share our frustrations and tribulations with them. That's why it tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, "Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is." We need each other. We need to encourage one another. God is working in Chuck's life. I need to hear what God is doing. Or God is working in Sam's life. I need to hear what God is doing. So we need to be together. We need to be together as a group. We also need to be together in smaller groups, whether it's men and women's Bible studies, small groups, celebrate recovery. It's encouraging for us to hear what God is doing in other people's lives. And we need to hear that. And it draws us closer and closer to God. I was reading an article in Christianity Today, and the article is called "Crossing the Wasteland and a Faith." And it's by Barbara Bradley Haggerty, who's a believer, a born-again Christian, and she was a former National Public Radio reporter. But she told a story about Carolyn Weimer. And Carolyn Weimer has been a Christian for 43 years. And one of the things that Carolyn said, that there's been a couple times in her life where God has done some miraculous things, some supernatural things. And she calls these signposts in her life. One was God supplied money in a miraculous way for her tuition for college. And a second time was a job that God miraculously provided just everything so that she could do this job. But she was talking to Barbara and she said, you know what? But God also provides other encouragement and signposts per se. And she said, this happens in their small groups that they're involved in, where God is doing something supernaturally in someone else's life. And that draws her closer to God by what God is doing in someone else's life. And that's true for us too. We need to be involved in other Christians' lives. And we need to see what God is doing. And it will draw us closer and closer to God. It will encourage us. Often it helps us to talk about our problems or trials to a mature Christian. This helps us to get a different perspective. And it may help us to see what God is doing through all this. Oftentimes, I think that's why people come to see Pastor Andy, myself, Pastor Peter, or Pastor Enrique, Pastor Paul, just because they need a different perspective. When we're in a problem, when we're in a trial, when we're going through a difficulty, it's hard to see things objectively, isn't it? It's very, very hard to see things objectively because we're going through it. But you come and talk to someone, and they can look at it from outside in a more objective manner and sometimes give you counsel that really helps because of that. And we all go through these things. And there are times when we need to talk to people. And it's good to get someone with an objective opinion. And as I said, sometimes we're so involved in the problem, we can't see the problem clearly and objectively. And we need someone who will help us sort things out. Joshua kept the proper perspective. And that was God's perspective. And we need to do the same. It isn't easy. But if we stay close to God and walk with Him, it will be much easier. When we see things through God's eyes and realize He is with us, we can face the challenge, and the challenges will come to us in 2017. This morning we've seen three keys for facing 2017. First, we have to realize we will face challenges. We will not be exempt in 2017 from difficulties and trials and suffering. But we have to look at these as opportunities to serve God. Secondly, we see that God is with us and will not be facing these alone. Finally, let's not get discouraged or be afraid, but realize God is there and look at the problem through His eyes. And if we do this, we'll see things in their proper place. C.H. Spurgeon writes, "Many men owe the grandeur of their lives to their tremendous difficulties." And that's so true, isn't it? You look at the people that God has used, they've been through all kinds of difficulties and trials and tribulations. I just finished a book called God in Churchill. And it's written by the great-grandson of Winston Churchill, who's a believer. And it's a great, great book. Best book you'll read in 2017, okay? And his son, our great-grandson, is talking about Churchill. Because when we think of Winston Churchill, we don't necessarily think of a Christian, per se, because the guy was smoking cigars like four or five a day and drinking a whole lot. But his great-grandson said that he thought he was a believer. And that everything that he did, he prayed about and sought God's guidance and direction when he was leading England. If you think of Churchill in the 20th century, if it wasn't for him, he almost single-handedly held back the Nazis. And they were getting ready to invade England. And what did Churchill say? He said, "It's always too early to quit," didn't he? And then he went on to say, "Never, never, 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 never." He goes on the nevers forever. Never quit. And for 5 years, it was him with the Allies that held back the Nazis. But you look at Churchill's life, and it wasn't an easy life. It wasn't an easy life. There was many difficulties that he went through that prepared him to lead the Allies during this period of time. He grew up in his home. His dad was an aristocrat, a lord. His mom was an American. If you've ever watched Downton Abbey, you remember in that many of the British aristocrat men were marrying American women who were socialites who had a lot of money. That's exactly what happened to Churchill. And his parents didn't spend any time with him. They sort of relegated him to school, but they did have a nanny that took care of him for 7 or 8 years, Elizabeth Ann Arnett. And she was a Christian. She was a believer. And until Churchill died, he had a picture of her, his nanny, on his desk. He never forgot her. Because she taught him to pray. She taught him the Word of God. She taught him all these types of things through these difficult times. And then Churchill was the first Lord of the Admiralty during World War I, led the British Navy. He was involved in the Battle of Gallipoli on the Turkish Peninsula, which he organized and planned. And essentially the British lost it with the New Zealanders and Australians, and they had to retreat to Egypt. So he lost his position as the Lord of Admiralty. And so he resigned. That's an honorable way to, before you get fired, right? And he became a lieutenant colonel in the Army because he had been a soldier. His father had sent him to Sandhurst because he thought he was not smart enough to go to Oxford or Cambridge, and Sandhurst was their military academy. But so he went to the trenches and fought there with a brigade. He was a lieutenant colonel. Came back, ran for parliament, lost. Finally gained his parliament seat back in the 1930s. He was the only leader in parliament that stood up against Hitler and didn't want to appease Hitler. So his party and the opposition party were against him because he said, we got to fight this guy before it's too late. Well, they didn't listen to him. And then we all know what happened. He was elected prime minister in 1940. And he saved Britain. He saved the world almost in a political sense. But this wouldn't have been possible without the difficulties that he went through. And you know what? We're going to have difficulties and suffering in this upcoming year. But we need to see these difficulties as opportunities. We need to see these difficulties as God working in our lives and the lives of others. And to see God, we can see God using these in our lives. So as we look at this upcoming year, let's be reminded of these three keys. And that God will be with us and help us to get through this. Our Heavenly Father, we do praise you and thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for this example we've seen from your word. Father, we would just pray that we would stay close to you. Help us to walk with you. Help us to be filled with your Holy Spirit and be your instruments, Lord. Help us to see these difficulties as opportunities. We just ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen.